Today we're going to look at the Word. We're not going to be extraordinarily long today, I don't believe. We'll see how we go. Look at Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. I'm going to begin, really continue on with the thought that we had from Bible study on Thursday night. As we got into the Word of God, the Lord was just kind of moving as I was sharing. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about what I spoke about that night. If you have your bulletins on the back, you have some blank spaces that you can take notes. Today I'm going to share some scripture, and you may want to write some of these scriptures down. So you should have a blank spot on your bulletin here. Does anybody need a bulletin or a pen before we get started? Okay. Psalm chapter 1. Do you have a page number, Brian? 415. If you're using one of our paper Bibles in your seat, page 415, Psalm chapter 1. It says this, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction." Now today I want to draw your attention to the first part of this psalm. The joy of those who don't follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. The Christian life is a life of joy. It's a life of the Lord being at work in your life. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 gives us a verb. A third word in, at least in my translation, your might be slightly different, but could somebody give me the verb they see in their Bible? But they delight in what? The law of the Lord. And how often? Do you see that in that verse? Man, we got food coming, so if you want to keep us moving here, you can help out. Right, they meditate on it, what, day and night. Good, good. I've given you the answers. We can do this. All right. They delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. In other words, they what? They get into the Word of God and they read it once and close it. Is that what it says? No. They meditate on it. Okay. I have a very gross analogy for you, but I love it. Okay. I love it. So I'm going to give it to you anyway. And maybe if it's gross, it'll stick into your mind. In theory, cows have 7 stomachs. In theory. Does anybody know? Has anybody heard that before? They have multiple stomachs anyway. Is it 4? It's a lot of stomachs. We'll go with 4 since you said 4. It's a lot of stomachs. Here's the gist though. When cows eat grass, right, they walk around, moo, moo, right? Can somebody give me a good moo? Moo, okay. They'll go over to the green grass, and they start to eat the grass, chew it up, they swallow it. Then what do? Regurgitate it. That's a cool way of saying puking it back up in their mouth. So they'll go, yeah, hope you haven't been there today. They regurgitate it, they bring it back up from their first stomach to their mouth again. They chew it some more. I think it's called chewing the cud, right? They chew it, yeah, okay. And they chew and then they swallow. Then what? They vomit it up, chew again, swallow. Vomit it up, chew it again, swallow. Why? Well, God made them that way. But what's the other reason? That they're able to get all the nutrients out of the grass or whatever it is they eat, right? They're able to digest it. They're able to get all the nutrients through going several times. And eventually, you know, what happens, happens. Listen, when we get into the Word of God, this psalm, the writer of this psalm says he meditates on the word of the law day and night. What does it mean to meditate? First of all, you have to read it, right? You can't meditate on it if you haven't even read it. So you need to read it. Then to meditate on it, Christian meditation means to dwell upon it, to think about it. Now you may have, you've heard the word meditation. Eastern meditation means to think about nothing, to go in a room and blank yourself out. And, you know, that's not Christian meditation. Christian meditation and Jewish meditation means to dwell upon it, to think about it. So the writer of this psalm says he reads the word, then he thinks about it. The picture is like the cow, bring it back up, but in his mind, he'll have the word in his mind or in his heart, and then later on, he'll bring it back up to his attention, and he'll think about it some more. What do we say? We might even say you chew on it some more, right? And then it goes back down, and then later on, you're somewhere else, and you think about it some more. Okay, then it goes back down. Then later on, you think about it some more, right? You see this pattern. Now, they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. Cool. These are people who are good people to have joy. Look at verse 3. Let's see what their life looks like for those people that do that. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Okay, so their lives bear fruit. Do you see that? They're like trees that aren't planted in the desert. They're planted by the riverbank. What is the riverbank? That symbolizes the presence of God. It symbolizes the Holy Spirit. It symbolizes the nutrients that we would draw from the Lord, right? That they would be refreshed in the presence of God. They're like trees that are refreshed, drawing their spiritual water from the Lord. And what happens? They bear fruit, right? Do you see that? They bear fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither, it says, and they prosper in all they do. Their lives would bear fruit. Their leaves never wither. We could probably take that as we have eternal life, that even if we die here, we know those who trust in Jesus, you will be with Him forever and ever in heaven, right? Their leaves never wither. They have eternal life, and they prosper in all they do. That's good. Anybody here like to prosper in all you do? Anybody? Oh, wow, we only got a couple people. Let's try that again. Yeah. Right? Anybody looking forward to lunch when we get done? All right. Listen, they prosper in all they do. Super quickly, let's glance at the wicked. You see the big comparison. Those who trust and delight in the law of the Lord, those who meditate on the law of the Lord, and the wicked. The wicked, it says they're like worthless chaff. They're scattered by the wind. They're just all over the place. They're just blown around. In other words, their opinions change. One day they'll believe this. Another day they'll believe that. Pardon me. One day it's good to do this. Another day it's not good to do that. And it says they'll be condemned at the time of judgment. And sinners have no place among the godly. They're scattered around. In other words, their lives aren't anchored on the solid rock of Christ, which is the Word of God. Their lives aren't anchored in the Word. So what happens to a boat that's not anchored down? Does anybody watch Deadliest Catch? I love that show. When the storms of the Bering Sea hits, they're bouncing all over the place, right? Come all over the place, getting beat up. It's like that in the world. If we're not anchored and solid in something, which the Bible says is the Bible, so I'm going to take God's word for it. If we're not anchored in His word, we get beat up and we're bouncing all over through life. And it says they're scattered around. And it says at the end comes destruction. At the end comes destruction. We know that there is a time that we will all stand before the Lord. I want to be ready when I stand before Jesus. Quickly, I have a few points. You can write these down. We're going to talk about Christian meditation. What is Christian meditation? Again, that's getting into the Word. Here's your first thing, though. Christian meditation is the careful reflection on God's Word. Did you hear that? The careful reflection on God's Word. Here's your verse, 1 Timothy 2:7. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "Think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you understand." See, as Christians, we're supposed to think. some people would say that, you know, they would accuse Christians of not thinking, of blindly following stuff. To be honest with you, there are a lot of Christians who don't think. They just blindly follow. But you know what? There's a lot of people who don't love Jesus that just blindly follow as well, don't they? They just blindly follow whatever is on MTV. They blindly follow whatever. I think we need to be thinking Christians. As Paul said, think about these things. Think about it. Get into the Word. God is big. God wants you to think. He doesn't want you just to accept stuff. In fact, in the book of Acts, there was this church that was really regarded highly. The Apostle Paul went there to share. They were called the Bereans. And they were really, the neat thing about them is they wouldn't just accept what Paul said. They said, that sounds good. Show me in the Bible. That sounds good. Show it. Prove it. And they were very highly regarded. We should think. Christian meditation is the careful reflection upon God's Word. There is a book that a man wrote. It may have been Josh McDowell, but you could search for it on Amazon if you want. It's simply this. Don't check your brains at the door. And it's about when you become a Christian, you don't check your brains at the door. God wants us to think. He gave you your mind. And we can worship Him with our mind. Again, Paul told Timothy to think. God speaks through His Word, but we need to carefully reflect upon it. It takes time to get what God wants out of His Word. We need to carefully reflect upon it. We need to think about it through and through. And guess what? God will give you understanding. You hear me today? To be honest with you, if a lot of us miss this, a lot of Christians miss this because they don't spend time thinking about the Word. Maybe they'll go through life and they'll hear a message on you should read your Bible, and they'll start, I'm going to read my Bible like my pastor said, and you'll get a few verses and you close it, and next day you'll get a few verses, close it. Third day you forget and you skip. Fourth day you come back. Fifth and sixth day you skip. Seventh day you said, man, I didn't do as good as I thought, and then you don't read it again for like another month, right? Anybody ever have it happen? I used to do that all the time as a kid, right? Yeah, just be honest. See, here's the deal. Just reading the Bible quickly and not soaking it in, it helps, but you're kind of missing it. We need to get into it and we need to chew upon it and meditate upon it. Then the Holy Spirit who inspired the Word that lives within the Christian, the same Holy Spirit as you read the Bible will tell you, yelp, I said that. And He will begin to speak to your heart. Anybody ever experienced that? Can I see a show of hands that you've experienced God? There's more than one. Can we participate today? Anybody that the Lord has worked in your life as you read your Bible? Right? That God has spoke to you in a personal way where you know it was God. Right? Because you wouldn't have come up with that stuff on your own. When we spend time, the Lord begins to change us. But we need to do that. We need to spend time. It's the careful reflection on God's Word. Number two, Christian meditation is the persistent reflection. Persistent reflection. We just said the careful reflection. It's persistent. You need to spend time. We just read verse 2. Meditating on it day and night. Day and night. It means getting into it and just allowing God to speak to you on a persistent basis. Spend time with Him, but then do it like more than once. Do you know what I mean? And honestly, I share this today. I feel this is the Lord's direction because I think for some of us, we miss it. And we miss the Lord at work in our life. And maybe you tried Christianity a long time ago and you've kind of, it didn't really click for you. And I'm just wondering if maybe this could be it. That we just didn't really allow the Lord to speak to us as we spent time carefully, persistently, like, you know what I mean? And spend time with Him because God will reveal Himself to you if you do that. Number three, Christian meditation is obedient reflection upon God's Word. Okay, we're careful, we're persistent, and then we're obedient. What does obedient mean? It means we do what it says, right? Right? We do what it says. Turn your Bibles to Joshua 1:6. We're going to look there briefly. A few verses. Joshua 1:6. It's in the Old Testament. It's the sixth book in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Can somebody give me a page number if you have it? 168. If you have one of our paper Bibles, 168. It's the fifth book in... Oh, that's a different Bible. What do you have? What do you have? 168. Okay. Bud, I don't know. We had a couple of different Bibles floating in the back that might be throwing you off. Joshua 1, verse 6. Now, who is Joshua? Joshua is the guy who God gave the small job, right, of following after Moses. Right? Isn't that big? You know, the guy from the Packers, Aaron Rodgers, he had the job, which was huge, of following after Brett Favre, right? That's pretty big. And you know what? He did okay. I was surprised. Good for him. Because I like Favre. Come back, Favre. I'd still like to see Favre play, just for fun. Yes, I am. Anyway, Joshua had to follow after Moses. How big was Moses? Big dude, right? And this is what the Lord says to Joshua. Chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, he says, "Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who would lead these people to possess the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do." So what is success? Being faithful to what God tells you to do. Okay, verse 8. "Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you can be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do." Only then. Did you see that? Only then. Only what? After you study the book and meditate on the book and obey it, will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Verse 9. "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Listen, when we get in the Word, we have to obey what it says. Maybe this is the point that some of us fail in. We genuinely want to hear from God, and we get into it, and you try and be careful. The first thing I want to say, though, is if you're beginning your walk with the Lord and understand the Bible, get a Bible you can understand. Get a version you can understand. Can I see this for 1 second? These Bibles that we have seated around, if you don't have a Bible, you can take this with you. This is a good version that's based upon the Greek and the Hebrew. It's a real translation, and it may help you. It may be a blessing to you to get into the Bible. I would also recommend starting in a good spot, probably the Gospel of John, in the New Testament, that's like three quarters back, which talks about who Jesus is. That's a great place to start in the Bible. You don't have to start from the beginning. The Bible is actually not a book. The Bible is a library of over 66 books. If you can picture a shelf with 66 books, you can walk to any book and you can just grab one and start reading. And that's the way the Bible is. The Bible isn't based chronologically. The Bible, all the books in the Bible are grouped by category, much like your library where you would go and there would be a biography. Here's the poetical books, right? Here's books of prophecy. And that's exactly the way the Bible is grouped together. You don't have to start at the beginning. If you did that at the library, you'd be reading about aardvarks, right? And stuff like that. You don't have to start at the beginning. You can go and start, and I think John is just an excellent place to start. But here's the gist. Be careful. Get into it. In other words, take your time. Be careful. Be persistent, right? Just spend some time in it. And the third thing is be obedient, right? That at some point, God is real, man. And He will speak to your life. And I want to encourage you to obey what He says. Because when you do, as we just read in Joshua, you will be successful. You will succeed. We just saw in Psalms, there will be fruit in your life when we obey what it says. When we refuse to obey what it says, here's where we miss it. We refuse to listen to God and the Holy Spirit in your life. Then what happens? We stop hearing from the Lord. Because the Lord says, you need to do this. I'm not listening to you on that, God. I know you're smart and all that, but I don't need that. Then you'll come back and the Lord will say, you need to do that. Not today, Lord. And if we're not careful, we can harden ourselves to the voice of God because He'll continue to speak to us. And at some point we completely block Him out and we're used to hearing Him speaking to us. And then at some point you drown Him out with your own thoughts. I want to encourage you to be careful as you get into the Word. In other words, just take a break and really focus. Be persistent. Day and night. And, you know, think about it. And then, like, you don't have to read it all day. But when you go to work, you can maybe think about it on your way or whatever. And then also be obedient, thank you, to what it says. And God will change you. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know what, I really don't need that. Here's number four that may help you real quickly. It's this: Christian meditation and prayer were exemplified by Jesus. In other words, if Jesus had to pray and meditate, so do you, right? Jesus had to do this. Luke 5, 15 and 16. Jesus was healing people and He told them, don't tell everybody in the world because He had some stuff He had to do and didn't want to attract a big crowd at that moment. And it says, but despite Jesus' instruction, the report of His power spread even faster. The crowds came to hear Him preach and were healed of His diseases. Verse 16, you see Jesus ministering, working through life. Verse 16, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness to prayer. Jesus, fully God, had to get alone to spend time with God, to meditate on the Lord, to think about it. If you're familiar with the Gospels, you know that Jesus was tempted, really, at the beginning of His earthly ministry. The devil came to tempt Him for 40 days in the wilderness, and Jesus quoted Scripture to the devil three times at least. It was actually over a period of 40 days, but we have the account of three of those temptations, but it was much, much more than just three times. What were the verses that Jesus shared? Where were they from? Can somebody tell me where they were from in the Bible? It was Scripture from the Bible, from an Old Testament book written by Moses. The fifth book in the Bible. Deuteronomy. Jesus quoted Scripture from Deuteronomy. Man cannot live by bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Remember? Jesus was meditating, they think, in that wilderness through His temptation, thinking about, dwelling upon, regurgitating, if you will, meditating upon, many think, the book of Deuteronomy, since all verses came from Deuteronomy, as He's in the wilderness. And He's Jesus! We need to spend time thinking upon it, dwelling upon it. We need to do that. God wants you to be a good thinker. A few verses, and then we're going to shift the message quickly here. Psalm 119, that whole chapter, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to highlight a couple of verses. That whole chapter is 176 verses long. It's all about the Bible. Psalm 119, 97. How I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. Verse 99, yes, I have more insight than my teachers, for I am always thinking of your laws. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. He was being changed. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." The things we think about, they're the things that we become. Be careful what you think about. Romans 12:2, "Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." How God transforms us into a new person is to give us a new mind. How do we get the new mind? Getting into the Word, right? Didn't we just say that? Careful, persistent, obedient reading of the Word, it completely changes us. Psalm 19:14, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, the things I think about God, may it be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Philippians 4:8-9. Paul writes, "Dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts," do you see? "Point your mind, fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent, worthy of praise." In Colossians, Paul says, "Let your roots go down into Christ, like the picture of a tree, and then you'll be strong." Get into Christ. Think about Him. Colossians 3:2, Paul says, "Think about the things of heaven, not just the things of earth." You see? Think about these other things. Think about the Lord. Dwell upon Him. Hebrews 3:1, "Think carefully about this Jesus whom we declare to be messenger and high priest." The writer of Hebrews didn't say, blindly accept the message. He said, think about it. Get into it. Dwell upon it. Look at the Scriptures which are true. And God will make Himself real. Think. Spend time with the Lord. 1 Peter 1:13, "Think clearly." Later on, 2 Peter, he says, "Stimulate your wholesome thinking." See, the problem sometimes is we think about the wrong stuff. We need to be careful what we think about. That's why it's good to get into the Word that's pure and true and not within our own heart. After the flood with Noah, the Lord told Noah about the human race in Genesis 8:21, that everything people think about or imagine is bent toward evil from childhood. Everything, the Lord said, after the flood, Noah's building the sacrifice. God said, "I'm not going to wipe the world out with a global flood anymore." But the Lord says everything they think about or imagine is bent toward evil from childhood. Have you ever watched the news and you saw something come across and you think, how did they even think to do that, right? Have you ever seen that? Weird, you know, serial killers and all kinds of weird stuff where you think, where did they even get the thought to do that? The Bible says that our heart in itself is deceitfully wicked. If we just think about things on our own, it's going to be bad. That's why we need to get into the Word. Anybody here selfish? If we're honest, we're all selfish. Does anybody like things? Does anybody like to be comfortable? Does anybody like, if you're watching TV, you want the good chair? Yeah, right? Everybody. Right. Because we're all selfish. We all want to, as I heard one man say, take care of number one. Although, unfortunately, when that man said it, he was meaning to the exclusion of his children. Not good. But we all have a selfish bent. I could go on and on. I could give you scriptures later if you ask. But listen, the Bible talks about 2 Peter 2:12. You can read it. Romans 8:5, 6, and 11. You can read it at home. They talk about being enemies of the cross because you dwell upon things of the world. Couple things before we go, okay? We're almost done. This is it. You ready? Let's bring it to a very practical sense. This is where I think it's good for you to take paper and a pencil, a pen, whatever. You might want to write down one or two or a few of these verses here, okay? This is where it hits home. I laid all that foundation down to say God wants us to think. God wants us to get into His Word. It takes time. Get clarity upon it. Be persistent. Be obedient. Here's a few things for you to think about. Thursday, I called them facts for everybody, these first three, and then we have facts specifically for the followers of Christ. And here we go. Facts for everybody. Think about this. If you spend time thinking about these things, it will change you and change your life. The first fact for everybody, God will reveal Himself to us if we really seek Him. Jeremiah 29:13. God will reveal Himself. I don't need to talk for God. He doesn't need me, to be honest with you. And He doesn't need me to defend Him. God will reveal Himself to you if you seek Him. Jeremiah 29:13, the verse is, if you look for me with all your heart, you will find me. Did you know there's people that become Christians around the world and all they do is come across the Bible? That they don't go to church and have to say a prayer. They just come across the Bible and start reading and God speaks to them and changes them and blows their mind. Because God's real. It's not just a book. He really speaks to us. If you really seek Him, you will find Him. The second fact for everybody, God will forgive us. 1 John 8:9. 1 John 1:8-9. It says, if we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful, He's just, He forgives us of all sin and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. This fact is for everybody. God will forgive you. God will forgive you. If you seek Him, if you confess your sins and call upon Jesus, He will forgive you. He will make you right with Him. If you're here today and you think, I don't want to be a Christian because Christians are weird, I would say, to be honest with you, there are a lot of weird Christians. There just are. You don't have to be like them. Be who God's called you to be. Don't let the weird ones scare you away. There's a lot of weird people who watch, you know, bad stuff on TV. A lot of weird people that don't love Jesus. There's weird people everywhere. God doesn't make you weird. God changes you and makes you good. Third thing, God will raise everyone from the dead. John 5:28-29. You can write that reference down. Dwell upon it later. God will raise everyone from the dead. Jesus said, don't be surprised. The time is coming when everybody who's dead in their graves will hear God's voice. And He says, those that have done good, those who trusted in Jesus for forgiveness, they will rise and go to heaven. Jesus said, those that have done bad, not really done bad, rather, let me rephrase that. He says, those that don't know Him, that haven't accepted His forgiveness, because we've all been bad. Those that haven't accepted Jesus, that haven't asked Him to forgive them. He says, they will rise and experience judgment, which is hell. Do I say bad? Not bad, we're all bad. I don't want to say bad people go to hell. That's not true. We're all bad people. Those who reject the sacrifice of Jesus, there's no way out from hell. We're all sentenced to hell. Through Jesus, we have a way out from that. The Bible says everybody will die and everybody will raise and there'll be a judgment. Jesus said that. Yeah? Uh-huh. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good question. And if you would like the big answer for that, available on our website. If you go download audio messages to the right-hand side, the title was What Happens When We Die? And I spent like an hour on that. Big question is this. Bible says when we die, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Thessalonians says that those who are dead will come back. They come with Jesus. Then they enter, they re-enter their bodies, they get their physical bodies, and then they rise from the dead. Good question. When we die, we're with the Lord, then they will come back down, re-enter their bodies, and we who are still alive will rise with them to meet them in the air. Good question, Lou. free of charge for everybody here today, srworship.org. We're going to be real quick right here. For the followers of Jesus, listen, those who accepted Jesus, you still need to meditate. Few facts. Facts number one, just write the reference down. God will never fail us or abandon us. He will never leave you or forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. Write that down. Hebrews 13:5. You can look it up later. God will never leave you. Here's the gist. Dwell upon that. When you feel alone, when you feel like everybody's left you, God said He will never leave you. Dwell upon that. Think about that and you can say, you know, I'm not alone because God promised me He's not here. Do you see what you're doing? You're meditating. You're being changed upon the truth of the Word. Second fact, God has good plans for your life. For those who follow Jesus, who follow the Lord, Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good, not for disaster, to give you hope in a future. Jeremiah 29:11 in the Old Testament. If you go through life and you think God hates you, and you think that God doesn't have any good plans for you, to be honest with you, I want you to dwell upon this word. I want you to get it in your heart, because the Bible's true. What you have in your heart is not true. None of us, what we have in our heart is good, including me. We need to get into the Bible. We need to realize, wait a second, I can trust God. Even though my earthly father may or may not have been good, my heavenly Father is awesome, and He is good. The third thing, God will give you wisdom if you ask for it. James 1:5. Anybody ever need wisdom? James 1:5. One of the clearest promises in Scripture. It says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. If you're in a situation where you need wisdom, clear promise, God will give you wisdom. Here's how this works out in your life. Meditate upon that. God, You said You would give me wisdom. I need wisdom in this question. If somebody comes over to you and says, what are you going to do with this decision? Our answer should be, if we don't know, say, I don't know, but God promised He'll let me know. Right? I don't know, but God will help me. Many times we say, I don't know, period. As Christians, because the truth hasn't gotten in our heart, we need to know that God will give us the answer. Amen? Kids are loud, so I'll talk louder. We're almost done. God will take you to heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. It says that, I basically quoted that to Lou, God will take you to heaven. Here's the gist with that. If you feel overwhelmed, like nothing's going right and this world will go on forever, as the Christian, we know that there will come a day when we go to heaven. Isn't that good? Yeah? There's an end to suffering. There's many more scriptures. Revelations at the end talks about there'll be no more weeping or crying. Great verse to meditate upon. Two more, and we're done. Another fact, God will provide for your needs. Philippians 4:19. Chew on this verse. My God will provide all your needs according to His riches and glory. God will provide for the believer, those who trust in Him. God will provide. Hide this in your heart. When you're feeling down and out, you know, God may provide through a job. He'll provide some way, but God takes care of His own. Don't allow yourself to be overwhelmed to the point where you have complete fear and you don't know what's happening. God will provide. Last one I'm going to share today. God will give me the strength to do all that He wants me to do. Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. God will give you the strength to go through anything that He wants you to do. Anybody here, you've gone through a hard time, and people may ask, well, where'd you get the strength? How could you go through that? Anybody? God will give you the strength to go through it. If you're facing a place in your life where you really don't have the strength to do it, you need to ask yourself if God really wants you to go through it. You know, if you're trying to just, I'm just completely speaking off the top of my head and I don't have anybody in mind, but let's just say if you wanted to start a business and there's no way that you could actually do it, then maybe that's not what the Lord's calling you to do at this point. You know, maybe you need to wait until God can help you to do that. But whatever He's called you to do, raising children, your marriage, your family, whatever it is, God will give you the strength. Philippians 4, 19? I just said that. Philippians 4, 13. We can think about that. Dwell upon that verse. When you feel completely overwhelmed, trust that the Lord will help you. Listen, there's many more promises of Scripture. I just gave you like 10 that was just speaking to me in preparation. There are many more. Many more. I encourage you, hang on to those verses or just get in your Bible and trust the Lord. Dig into it. Think about it. Meditate on it. When He speaks to you, which He will, obey it. And then I guarantee your life will be changed. And I'll be honest with you, I've never wanted to turn back from when I started following Jesus. And I don't think you will either. I don't think you will either. Because it's a good life. The Lord fills you with joy. You could be in a place where it would kill an ordinary man with all the suffering that people go through. And Jesus touches you. And He helps you. And you get through it. And people will say, how could you even endure? Aren't you upset? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. He is good. And He loves you. Seek Him. Dwell upon Him. We're going to get ready and close in prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we love You today, God. We honestly do. Lord, we love You and we seek You, Jesus. You're awesome. Lord, I thank You for Your Word that really changes us, God. I thank You that we don't have some kind of rigid religion where if we don't read, we're bad people. Lord, You let us read to get into You just so You can speak to us. It's a privilege to have You speak to us, to hear Your voice. So I pray that as we get into Your Word this week, You would help us to be changed by You. Help us to be open to You. Lord, for those who don't know You, I pray that today would be the day that they would call out to You. We know that You died on the cross and rose again, and there's forgiveness for those who call upon You. So, Lord, I pray that they would admit their sins to You, Lord. That they would just own up to the mistakes that they've done. And as they call upon You and believe upon Your death and resurrection in their place, Lord, that they would just commit their lives to You, Jesus. That they would say, if You're real, Lord, change me. And for those who are ready, that they would say, Lord, fill me, change me, and use me for Your glory. I pray that You would bring real peace today. In Jesus' name, amen.